This is Operation Patriotic Toilet Seat by Titus North. It's published by Enlightened Pyramid Publications. Part 1, The Land of the One-Room Mansion. Chapter 1, 3 a.m., Sunday, December 30th, 1979. Bang! Christ! A steel cylindrical trash can rolled noisily across the linoleum floor. Maybe nobody heard it, Joe muttered to himself. He continued to grope drunkenly across the dark room, feeling for a door. Suddenly, on the other side of the room, a door was outlined in fine, soft light. Eureka! Joe thought to himself, and redirected his groping. His plodding across the room was accompanied by further sound effects. At last, he reached the door and turned the knob. A young college-age girl was sitting up in bed with her lamp on. "Who are you?" she asked with a surprising lack of alarm.
"Joe, where's Lorelei?"
"So you're Joe. Lorelei's not here. She's at a sleepover. You better get out of here before you get caught." The girl, who from the looks of her was Lorelei's older sister, said rather sympathetically.
"Okay," Joe said.
He turned and resumed stumbling across the dark room. Suddenly, it wasn't dark anymore. There, standing at the foot of the stairs, was Lorelei's father.
"What are you doing here?" he asked menacingly.
Joe had never seen Jasper Weininger before, but recognized him from his picture in the newspapers. Joe was a former Washington Post paper boy, and one morning, in the midst of his obsessive pining for Lorelei, he saw her old man's picture on the front page under the headline, "Weininger Quits Cabinet in Dispute with Carter."
"I'm looking for Lorelei,"
he said in as matter-of-fact a tone as he could muster in his inebriated state.
"Is she here?"
"Young man, I've already called the FBI," he said, ignoring Joe's question.
Joe knew that this was quite likely. Weininger was a former FBI director. Or was it CIA? Either way, Joe knew it was time to make his exit. He profusely apologized, the way drunks are prone to, and thanked the government luminary for tipping him off about the FBI. He walked calmly out the sliding patio doors, and then, before even disappearing from the sight of the Weininger family, most of which had by then gathered around their father, he dashed across the backyard, leapt over a fence, and proceeded to make a beeline for the Potomac River without regard for yards, walls, or any other obstacles. Joe eventually made it back to his family's house on the other side of Arlington, Virginia. But 12 hours later, 3 p.m. to be specific, he was back at the Weininger front door ringing the bell. This time, Mrs. Weininger appeared at the door.
"Is Lorelei there?"
Joe had only met Mrs. Weininger once before, and although she knew he was the intruder from the previous night, she asked him to step inside while she fetched Lorelei. She treated Joe as if he were one of the kids on the street whom she had known for years. Lorelei appeared momentarily. She had been in his math class the year before, and one day, a couple of days before the Christmas break, she smiled at him and said something friendly, although hardly flirtatious, as they were handing in their homework. Suddenly, she went from being someone he barely noticed to the obsessive focus of all his romantic energy. For months, he looked forward to nothing except the next time he would see her in class. It wasn't that he was the most awkward of adolescents, but he still struggled to find something to say to her each day. And it wasn't that she didn't notice him, but she was far more sociable than he was, and Joe burned with jealousy each time she talked to any of the other boys in the class, even though the flirtations were never anything other than mild and innocent. In retrospect, Joe eventually realized that his obsession was an effort to escape from a family situation marred by chaos, conflict, and irrationality. His increasing drinking problem was also an attempt to escape. One day, at the end of the school year, one of his friends told him that he had to start facing his problems because you can't run away from them. That gave Joe an idea. He ran away. He stayed away the whole summer. First, he worked in an ice cream store on Long Beach Island in New Jersey while living in a boarding house. Then one day, he came home with a drinking buddy who broke the rules by crashing on the floor and then got himself busted by urinating all over the hallway. Joe would never forget the drunkard's words when the landlord caught him in the act in the corridor. "Don't bother me, man. I'm in the bathroom." After Joe got kicked out, he moved to a nearby uninhabited island where he slept in a tent and eventually took up clamming when he got fired from his ice cream job. At the end of the summer, he took his meager savings and hitchhiked to Quebec City. He managed to get a girlfriend who, at 16, was a year his junior, and he also tried to get a job, but without much French ability and no legal permission to work, this proved impossible. By the time the weather got cold, Joe could no longer afford his youth hostel. Sylvie's parents were nice about feeding him, but Joe eventually caught a cold and gave up being a homeless romantic. He hitchhiked to Texas, where he was told he could earn some quick bucks on the shrimp boats in the Gulf of Mexico. However, his boat got caught in a late-season hurricane and almost sank. Joe was seasick for 4 days before the crippled vessel limped back into port. Joe vowed he would never board a boat again and hitchhiked home by way of New Orleans, where he got the chance to play in a piano bar on Bourbon Street. Thus, by mid-December, he found himself back in Arlington. Even if he had the inclination to re-enroll in school, it was too late to earn enough credits to graduate by June. And besides, his family's situation was still little improved. The only thing that could stop him from running off again was a chance to hook up with Lorelai. "Hi, Joe." There she was, smiling, radiant, at least to Joe. But somehow, at the same time, reserved, holding back. Joe got straight to the point. "If you come to my New Year's Eve party, I'll have one." "I already told Bobby Aldrin I would go to his party." Bobby Aldrin! Joe had nothing against the boy per se, although the fact that his father had walked on the moon spawned jealousy. "Come on, it'll be really good. A case of champagne and everything," Joe implored. "Sorry, maybe next year." "Okay, next year it is." With that, Joe spun around and headed for the door. This took Lorelai by surprise, as she was expecting him to pressure her for half an hour, as he was prone to. However, Joe was determined to make a statement by breaking with his past habits. "Are you leaving already?" she asked.
"Yeah, I'm going to go swimming."
"You'll freeze to death."
"Not in Florida,"
Joe said calmly, and walked out the front door without looking back. Joe did not have a penny, and in fact had nothing in his pockets but a spare pair of socks. This time, Joe strode along the sidewalks towards the entrance to the George Washington Parkway, where he stuck out his thumb. And that's the end of that chapter.